Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mr. President. Happy birthday to you.
It's the boss.
In the gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao
and Carla Dawson.
Well, it is fun to be the birthday boy when you work the Sports Map Radio Network, when I get a little Marilyn Monroe in my ear.
Well, I mean, gosh, what is better today, Marilyn or Drew Pearson?
Well, they are
kind of a toss-up.
Slightly of a different era and look. But I'll tell you what, to have Drew Pearson on and to visit with him about the Cowboys' days of old, and his legacy with the Cowboys was really, really a treat. So thank you to Craig Larson for making that happen. And also just to hear his joy about being selected to the Hall of Fame was really, really special. But joining us now is another special guest. It's Joseph Cacciaro. He is a senior writer for The Score, and he covers the NBA there. Joseph, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, we are sitting here the morning after. Lakers have been eliminated from the playoffs. What can we conclude about the state of the Lakers?
I mean, they've got some things to fix. I know, obviously, the main reason they're out is because of injuries. And, Anthony Davis clearly wasn't healthy, and LeBron probably wasn't 100%. But there are some serious flaws with the makeup and the construction of that team. And, I think they're going to have to fix some things, especially that there are some teams in the West and in the NBA in general that are coming up that they're not going anywhere. So the Lakers have some work to do.
And with the Lakers, I'm a little bit tired of hearing LeBron talk about his excuses. He said today, this morning, or last night, that he wasn't worried about the first-round exit. He's worried about the health of his team. And I'm, of course, thinking of Anthony Davis. And then he goes on to say, but I'm not completely healthy either. And I don't hear other superstars doing that. Is it time for LeBron to man up and just stop the excuses? They didn't have enough to get through. Both he and AD are aging. And last year was the perfect season with them, with a shortened season, a five-month break between the regular season and the playoffs. Is it time for him to stop the excuses?
I mean, yeah, probably. But the one thing with LeBron, is he's just been so durable for so long that I find it hard to kind of pick it apart now when he does have an injury and, seems a little rattled by it. But, I mean, I agree with you. Yeah, definitely, there shouldn't be any time for excuses. They lost. They've been eliminated. His teams before in the playoffs have beat injured teams. He's been on teams that have been injured. I mean, it happens. It's the playoffs. It's a long season. So I definitely agree with you that there should be no room for excuses right now. Like I said, I mean, the team just wasn't good enough either, regardless of the injuries. But I also think just with how insanely durable he's been over the course of his career, it's probably a little understandable that he seems rattled because, sure. I mean, Father Time might finally be catching up with him.
We're talking to Joseph Cacciaro. I want to ask you about, or if you can peek behind the curtain in Boston, Danny Ainge stepping away from the general manager position. What do you think happened there? Did Ainge really step away? Were the Celtics ready to move on from Ainge? He had a long, long run there. What's going on in Boston? And do you like the selection of Brad Stevens as general manager?
I mean, I don't know what the heck's going on there. I was as shocked as anyone with the Danny Ainge move. I mean, I think it's interesting to consider whether, behind the scenes maybe he was pushed out a little bit. Some things have been happening there, and he's been in the news lately. And then even just when you start reading some of the reports that, Brad Stevens eventually taking over for him is something that's been planned for a while, and maybe they thought this was the best time to do that. But in terms of Stevens taking over, I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of this move. I'm not saying it can't work. We don't know. But I just find it so odd that, it's being presented as Brad Stevens had kind of grown tired or was a little drained and worn out, from the grind of coaching all these years and after the bubble. And the solution for that is he's now going to take over the basketball operations department where it's a 24/7, 12-month-a-year job, essentially. The reasoning and the result, they just don't really add up, and I don't understand it. And to be honest with you, it kind of reeks of Celtics arrogance. that they would just elevate Brad Stevens to this job without conducting an exhaustive search, without maybe hiring an executive who's been there and done that at, you know, the front office level. So I think it's going to be really interesting. And even just the fact that, you know, one of the first names mentioned as a potential head coach replacement is Jason Kidd. I mean, look, Jason Kidd is one of the greatest point guards of all time. But as a head coach, leaves a lot to be desired. So definitely not thrilled about the way things are going in Boston right now.
Joseph, I love how you put that. I think you're exactly right. We were talking about it earlier today. I think it is a head-scratching move that Brad Stevens was immediately up and that there was not an exhaustive process. That your arrogance that you pointed out, the arrogance you pointed out in Boston, I think is a great point. Looking at Damian Lillard out there in Portland, man, he had a ridiculous playoff run. I mean, he could not have done more. And the waning seconds of the game the other night where, you know, McCollum stepped out of bounds, it was just so disappointing. It was like anything that could rain on Lillard's parade happened. Is he going to ask out of Portland? I mean, clearly they don't have the pieces around them. Or do you think he wants to stay and he just wants more pieces around him? What do you think? What happens to Dame?
I think he wants to stay, and I think he stays. I think, between reading things and just, you know, pre-pandemic when I would be in arenas and talking to people, the one thing you always hear is that Dame is the ultimate culture-setting superstar that wants to be there, that's loyal, that is not going to ask out. I mean, things can change, of course, but I really don't think it's in his DNA to do that. But I do think it's past time. The Blazers have to do something here. Like,
oh,
I just don't know how many years in a row they can do this, where they go into the season with this team that, yeah, offensively they can get the job done, but they are awful defensively. Like, they are so bad defensively. Like, they've got no chance to truly contend as presently constructed. They probably going to trade McCollum and see if they can maybe use that to balance the roster. I don't know if you can trade McCollum and find a way to get another star, but they got to do something because this current makeup isn't working. You know, even Yusuf Nurkic, I know he's taking a bit of a social media beating for the fact, you know, he couldn't stay on the court. He was in foul trouble. He took some dumb fouls all series, but he's really important to them. So it would have been, you know, helpful had he been on the court. But a big part of the reason he was always in foul trouble is because he's got absolute defensive sieves in front of him on the perimeter, and he got constantly under pressure because no one in front of him can keep anyone in front of them. So there's some serious issues to work out there, but I don't think Dame will ask out. I think it's more a matter of they need to make some moves to help Dame. Because, yeah, it was the other night especially. That was ridiculous.
Oh,
like, you know, when he finally started to wear down at the end of second overtime, which is completely understandable, his teammates couldn't pick him up, and it was frustrating.
Not only not pick him up, they were a liability.
Yeah, and it was frustrating to watch because they had spent the entire game on his shoulder.
We're talking to Joseph Cacciaro. He is a senior writer for The Score. You can download The Score app and you can read everything that he's writing. I want to ask you about the Nets. They obviously vanquished the Celtics. They faced the Bucks. That seems to me to be a great matchup. Frankly, the winner of that series, to me, might win the whole thing. Are you frothy about the Nets now and where they're headed with those big three all seemingly being healthy?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Bucks are great, and I agree with you. I think this matchup is going to be incredible, maybe the best of the playoffs. But I just find it hard to believe someone's beating the Nets if those three guys are healthy. It's just, you know, the playoffs are about star talent more than anything else. The playoffs are when you need guys who can create and make their own shots. You know, especially tough shots, especially the kind of shots that, you know, most teams don't want to take and opposing defenses want you to take, whether it's the mid-range or the long twos. You need guys that can create and make those shots in the playoffs against playoff defenses. And the Nets have three guys that are as good as anyone at doing that. I don't know how you beat that team. And I know, you know, obviously you can point to the defense and the fact that it leaves a lot to be desired, but there were some stretches of the season this year when they were healthy that they actually played some passable defense, and they're the ultimate switch team. They will turn the switch when they need to. Now, I don't think they're going to be great defensively, but I really do think that sneakily they actually have enough defensively to at least get by. based on how good their offense is. I mean, like, their offense looks like the greatest offense of all time, efficiency-wise, numbers-wise. Even if you just look at their first round, they just have the highest scoring and most efficient first round a team has ever had. The big three combined for the most points ever in a series by three players. Like, I just don't know how you stop this team. But the one thing I will say is Milwaukee might have the biggest actual individual advantage in this series, in that Brooklyn's a terrible interior defensive team, and Giannis is the most unstoppable force inside. So I think it'll be a great series. I think Milwaukee can give them a run for their money. I just have a hard time actually picking a team to beat this Brooklyn team four times out of seven.
That was so true. And Milwaukee's, they're hungry, so it should be fun. We're talking with Joseph Casciaro, senior writer for The Score, covering the NBA. Okay, Joseph, in all, you know, the first round has been exciting for a lot of ways, but unfortunately for the NBA, it's also been a freaking circus. I mean, how in the world do we get popcorn being dumped on Westbrook, Kyrie narrowly missing getting smacked in the head with a water bottle after he stomped on the Celtics logo, an idiotic fan running onto the court in the middle of the 76ers-Wizards game, Nick Van spitting on Trae Young. I mean, what in the world? How did we get here? And what does the NBA need to do to corral this? I mean, I heard KD say in a press conference that, is this like COVID frustration? How did we get here, Joseph? What do we do?
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's a good point. Maybe people got a lot of pent-up frustration. Oh, they need to get up. But, you know, I don't know how we got here, but the NBA needs to do something. And you know, I'm not going to pretend I have the answers. Certainly banning fans for life is a first step. You know, I know people were making fun of the fact that the fan who threw the water bottle at Kyrie got assault and battery charges and that it was overkill. But you know what? Honestly, like, if that's the kind of thing that's going to be needed to deter this kind of behavior, I'm fine with fans who do clown stuff like this and, you know, end up with charges like that. Yeah, we can laugh about the fact a guy got assault and battery for throwing a water bottle, but you know what? Don't throw a water bottle when you go to a sporting event. So I'm not exactly shedding tears for that clown. I just think people need to be better. The NBA needs to put its foot down, and yeah, charges probably need to be laid. And, you know, even with Kyrie, I know people sometimes roll their eyes at some of the stuff he says, but I thought he made a really good point the other night when he said that some fans show up thinking that they're attending a human zoo, you know, and forgetting that at the end of the day, the 10 guys or women on the court, depending on, you know, what league you're going to watch, these are still human beings. And yes, we can absolutely criticize them for their performance on the court. And you know, we can talk about the different things that go on with their contracts and trades. And, you know, if they don't play well, we should call it out. If they do something stupid, we should be able to call it out. But at the end of the day, there has to be some sort of mutual respect there and remembrance that these guys are human beings that, you know, can feel threatened, are vulnerable, or, you know, whatever else. And going there, you know, even with the Knicks and Trae Young, like, look, the spitting was obviously despicable, but even some of the chants, like, you know, I'm fully for fans having fun, don't get me wrong. And, you know, you can tell a player he sucks, you can keep it basketball, but personally, even me, who's fine with fans having fun, felt a little uncomfortable at, you know, 15,000 people chanting F Trae Young to a 22-year-old, or even kind of getting personal with the appearance stuff and chanting about him balding. Like, I don't know, that stuff just doesn't sit well for me. There's a lot you can trash talk when it comes to sports and the actual performance to get under a guy's skin. I don't really think you need to make fun of his appearance as a 22-year-old, or, you know, tell him to F off. There just seems to be a line that slowly but surely fans are crossing, and if you keep letting them cross that line, yeah, it's going to get carried away.
And I guess it's important to remember that the word fan comes from fanatic, and we're seeing a lot of it. So.
Right.
Great stuff. Yeah, that's Joseph Casciaro. He is a writer for The Score. Be sure to read him there. Great stuff on all things NBA. Joseph, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.